Thank you, loves. Before the service, I was talking to Faith, and I said to her, I was a bit worried about following her. She's a hard act to follow, and I think I'm justified in my comment, Faith. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Mick asked people what brought people to the church, and why did they come? And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, how do I respond to that? Because the reason I'm here at this church is because of a pretty girl. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that shortly. But I come from Cambridge. I was born there. What education I had was had in Cambridge, because I left at the end of the fourth form. They were glad to see me go, and I was glad to go. Well, I started work as a telephone exchange technician, building telephone exchanges back in the early 60s. In Cambridge, and went on from there. Then I did what was called the Old National Service in the Army for 3 months, and then became a territorial soldier for 3 years, ending up doing 5 altogether. But we came to Auckland in 1965 to build the automatic exchange in Papakura. A group of 12 of us from the Waikato came up here, and we were boarded out in various families, and a friend of mine was boarded out with this family that lived up Hill Road, And so we sat down for tea that night. Now, I'd never struck a family like this. It was large. And they said grace before me eating. And that sort of threw me. But across the table was this pretty girl. And I winked at her. Needless to say, she was not all that impressed. But at that time, the church was having a crusade with a group of pastors from the States. There was 200 American Southern Baptist pastors came. We were coming here from New Zealand, and they had this crusade throughout the country. And there was one here. Well, of course, the family were going, and they invited me to attend. Well, a couple of nights later, it was the opportunity to go with this pretty girl was pretty hard to resist, and so I made an active decision and to go with her. Well, of course, I'd never been to a church like that. I'd grown up as an Anglican, and in this one, the church, the people sang loudly, and they sang. They seemed to be enjoying being there, and what the preacher actually said seemed to make some sense. As I say, having brought up an Anglican, where you didn't sing loud, and you didn't show any emotion, and all that they seemed to talk about didn't make any sense at all. Well, I continued to go with Betty at this church, as things seemed to be pretty good. I was enjoying that. In fact, the church was always full. And we used to have an evening service at night. And, of course, the church was in that building in the front there, in the hall over there. And the where the foyer is now was what was called the overflow area. Church used to sit about 300 and something odd people, and if you didn't get in there by 20 to 7, you didn't get in. That's how packed it was. And they started singing at 20 to 7, and the singing was magnificent, amazing. Well, this one Sunday night, Pastor Howard Carter, who some of you will remember, was the pastor here, and he was preaching. He preached on the Ethiopian eunuch. What doth hinder me from being baptized? At the end of the service, there was always an invitation. And he gave this invitation, and I knew that I needed to respond. I just knew like I knew like I knew like you do. Well, I didn't, being me. But as I was walking across the back of the church, and the practice at those days was the pastor would always stand by the door and greet people as they went out. Well, I was about halfway across the back of the church there, and this voice spoke to me. And it said, Rodney. Now, I looked around to see who was calling me, who would know me. Well, there was no one there. Everybody was talking and buzzing and what have you. And I thought, well, that's weird. I'm sure I heard somebody call my name. I thought, oh, well, you know, must have been the pizza I had for tea or something. As I got a bit further on, the voice said, Rodney. And I'm starting to freak at this stage, and it said, this voice said to me, what are you going to do about Jesus tonight? Because if you don't, it will be too late. Now, you can imagine my state of mind at that point. What on earth was going on? Well, I came up to Howard and he looked at me and I said to him, "Can I come and see you one night this week?" And he looked hard at me and he said, "We'll go now." And I said, "We can't go now. There's all these people who want to say hello to you." He said, "They don't matter. You do." And my eyes, of course, were like saucers. And so we went into his office, which was close by, and he said, "What did you want to see me about?" And I said, "I have no idea." He said, "God spoke to you tonight, didn't he?" He said, "And I'm going to tell you what he said." He said, "God said to you, Rodney, what are you going to do with Jesus? Because if you don't, it'll be too late." Well, of course, as you can imagine, my jaw hit the floor. I said, "How did you know? How did you know that?" He said, "God told me when you were walking across the back of the tube. He said that he was talking to you." Needless to say, my life changed at that point. Then, not content with that, he said, we used to have, after the church, we used to have supper in the hall at the back end, right at the back end of the hall. And Sid Jenkins, who many of you may remember, used to sit and play the piano. And we used to sit and sing for we had supper. And so Howard said to me, I want you to go and tell someone, and not Betty. He said, "I want you to go and tell Sid Jenkins." Well, I barely knew Sid Jenkins. He was the church secretary at the time and one of the church musicians. So I went up to him, I stood by the piano, and he looked at me and I said, "Mr. Jenkins, I've accepted Jesus into my heart tonight." "Oh, great," he said, and the whole place knew. He said he just broadcasted everyone. However, that was where we went to. Life continued. Now for that pretty girl, we were married in this church in the end of the end there, 1967. Her son David was born in 70 and Nikki, our daughter, was born 2 years later. I was a deacon at the time, boys brigade officer, ultimately becoming the captain and a Bible class leader. So life was pretty full and busy. And during the 70s, the church embarked on the building program, which was this building here. And we were involved in that along with Ron and a few others that remember that well. And another technician and I designed and built the sound system that we had at that stage. Now, please don't laugh. It was very basic, but it was all we could have. We could afford. It was our gift to the church at that stage, and it worked. But it was pretty primitive. Not like they are today. 1978, Betty and I left here to go to Finley Park Camp, where we were the directors for 9 years, and we ran that camp for that time, before coming back here for 9 months, when we moved into Avalon Baptist, where I was the associate pastor, responsible for the youth group and the children's ministry. We had plans to go to Nigeria as career missionaries. We were going to look after a rest and recreation center there. We had a family crisis that meant that we couldn't go. So we had to withdraw from that. And of course, at that stage, I felt that God had wiped the floor with me, that I'd finished. But that was not to be. Well, I thought it was. And so we actually went then to move to Napier, where I became a funeral director. And for 3 years, I was operated at that capacity as a funeral director, but felt in my spirit that it was a great job. I loved it, but it was just not there. And so in 1995, we moved back to Papeete, where I became the associate pastor at Papeete Baptist Church, who was responsibility for pastoral care. Held that role for 10 years, till 2005, and before we left the church, and I returned to being a funeral director again. Went back to that profession. And so I sort of retired from that about 5 or 6 years ago now, or 4 or 5 years ago. But it was during that time that we were challenged about our role and then where our place could be. As active church leadership was not an option any longer, what next? Had we finished? Had we done our dash? Were we being put out to pasture? was our life effectively over. Well, it didn't sit terribly well, and so we felt that perhaps we should have some more to do, and what could we do with that? But it seemed that we weren't needed, and we certainly didn't seem to be wanted anywhere. So it was a pretty rough time during those years. But however, God is faithful. But a number of years ago, God had given us a dream about living in a fairly large motorhome. If you put that slide up, that's our motorhome. It's what we live in. We've lived in that for the last 4 years. And travelling about, going to Christian camps and other places, just being completely self-contained, doing things, being a blessing to those who we could serve. Camp staff work very hard and get long hours, and they don't get many breaks. And so we felt that perhaps we could do something towards them. Well, I started to build our motorhome in 2003. It took 7 years to build it, and we've been living in it for the last 4 years, and that's what it's like inside. Thought you might like to see what we live in. It's our home. But God had some plans for us, and we became involved with a group called MMM. And MMM is a group of older people, predominantly older people, having skills and times. And we go to churches and camps and schools, and we do project maintenance work. We'll go and work for a group. We're actually heading shortly off to Gore. We were going to build to a camp. We were going to put a room on the end of a cabin for this camp staff. But it's predominantly older people. So this is a group. The photo is the group of the older people. This is at Wood End. So you can see we're all pretty old, ancient even. That's a group. That's how we all live. That's one of the guys' motorhomes. And that's at Wood End Camp, just out of Christchurch, where we were for 8 weeks. Now, the organisation that we work for, church, whatever, provides the materials and a place to park our vehicles, along with the morning and afternoon teas, and sometimes they give us lunches. And we provide the man and woman power, along with our tools and some skills, to do the job. Now, we've already spent 18 months in the South Island with MMM. We had 5 weeks at Moyers Point Christian Camp in the north, renovating an old house, converting it into a lodge. Up there, and we're shortly leaving for Camp Columba in Gore. Well, has God finished? No, we don't think so. And just to add to the story, just recently I had a positive diagnosis for prostate cancer. We belong to a group called Good News Vanners, which is all Christians and motorhomers, and we went to a meeting with them one day, and I asked them to pray for me, and they did. And I felt something happen within my being. And just as a sequel, my PSA level went from 5.6 down to 3.8. That's a miracle. It doesn't happen. Not in a normal circumstance. So I don't know what God's doing. I just believe he hasn't finished. And so this church here has always held a pretty special place in our hearts. I met the Lord here. And as we leave here again in a fortnight's time, we pray that God would continue to bless you, to make and develop this family of faith into that what he wants you to be. The Lord be with you.
Thanks, Rodney.